Welcome to the Small Batch Edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour. I'm Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See, and I'm here in the studio with Stephen Thompson from NPR Music. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Linda.
Well, Stephen and I are here this Monday morning because Sunday night was the Oscars. Birdman was the big winner. Patricia Arquette, Eddie Redmayne, Julianne Moore.
J.K. Simmons. Basically, every acting winner went exactly as expected.
Yeah, most of the awards went largely as they were expected to go. And as always, a lot of the actual entertainment came from some of the speeches. Now, I would say one of my favorite speeches was J.K. Simmons, who used his Oscar moment to tell everyone to call their mom and dad.
Call them. Don't text, don't email. Call them on the phone. Tell them you love them and thank them and listen to them for as long as they want to talk to you. Thank you. Thank you, mom and dad.
Yeah, it was just a very sweet little moment of humanity. He's such a great presence. And I sat there watching how coolly and confidently he gave his speech. And I thought, that is really one of the advantages of everyone on Earth knowing you're going to win.
That's true. And I think Julianne Moore had the same experience in large part. I think one theme this year was some of the speeches involved people who were trying to talk about something. Patricia Arquette made a comment about the rights of women and wage inequality, which, you know, she said some other stuff backstage that was less great, but she at least was trying to talk about something.
I think that speech was better if you don't read the transcript.
Yeah.
I think if you play off the energy in the room and of Meryl Streep creating...
The best part of that speech was Meryl Streep and Jennifer Lopez cheering for it.
Just losing their minds.
Yeah. Also, the screenwriter of The Imitation Game talked about having wanted to commit suicide when he was younger and encouraged everyone to be individual.
The experience of that speech, I could just feel people on Twitter writing tweets that they then had to hastily delete before they posted because I thought it was a lovely speech.
I absolutely agree. I thought it was a lovely moment,
but it was, first of all, it was one of the few surprises. I really was genuinely surprised that that particular screenplay won over something like Whiplash, which won a bunch of other awards.
Right.
But the screenplay was really the source of so many of the things that made me not like that movie.
It made the movie frustrating.
That was strange. But it was definitely one of the examples of speeches that were surprising and heartfelt. And one of my takeaways from the telecast is this whole business of rushing the speeches with the orchestra, which is something we pretty much talk about every year. I'm a proponent of letting the speeches run a little bit longer because, yes, you get boring ones, but you also get one of the few opportunities for passion and surprise in a four-hour broadcast. And I like that, you know, people still talk about the speeches way more than they still talk about production numbers.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's the other theme that I think emerged in the speeches last night was these little battles with the orchestra that were going on for a while.
The director of Ida.
And the women who did the documentary short subject both kind of had that moment of the orchestra starting, and then they said something very
moving.
In the case of the Ida director, it was he wanted to talk about dedicating the award to his late wife. In the case of the documentary short directors, they were talking about one of them mentioned her son who had committed suicide. And you realize how awkward it is to interrupt people when you don't know what they're about to say.
Yeah.
So I think that was the other thing that emerged. But of course, in addition to the speeches, there were production numbers. There was the big John Legend and Common performance of Glory from Selma, which won for Best Original Song, as I think it was expected to.
Yes.
A good performance, I thought, of that song. And
it was
moving.
It was certainly rousing. There was a lot to unpack in those few moments because it was introduced by John Travolta putting his hands all over Idina Menzel's face.
That was weird.
Which was really weird.
Don't touch
your face.
That was weird.
But ultimately, it culminated in a big and beautiful and very emotional performance. You had David Oyelowo in the audience crying, and it was
a lot of people crying.
Chris Pine was crying.
Chris Pine.
He was kind of a Taylor Swift. He was able to really stand out in that crowd.
He was.
But I thought in general the musical performances, I thought that performance of Everything is Awesome.
From the Lego Movie.
Where, first of all, you put so many things I like and just kind of throw them on the stage where you're giving out these cute Lego Oscars to people, which are then being held by people in the crowd the entire
time. Who are kind of doing comedy with them. Channing Tatum was holding his up behind Steve Carell's head.
I just found that so winning and fun. And you had Mark Mothersbaugh and a diva Hat. You had Questlove on drums. Mm-hmm. I love Tegan and Sarah, and the more of them there are in the world, yep. the better.
And the guys from The Lonely Island.
The Lonely
Andy
Island,
Samberg,
which is just goofery, yep. which the Oscars need goofery that.
It was joyful and not a lot of joy.
But it was also so early in the telecast that you just knew. I just was like, in hour four, this would be so welcome.
Gosh, and instead, in hour four, what we got was Lady Gaga doing a 50th anniversary salute to The Sound of Music. Now, it was impressive to be reminded that Lady Gaga can sing.
Lady Gaga is a very, very talented person.
And I thought it was kind of cool that they had her doing these very straightforward versions of songs from The Sound of Music at the same time.
Like, the timing.
The timing was they should have done that earlier in the night because I was tired by then and grumpy and cynical. It is true. Not the moment for The Sound of Music. As much as I enjoyed Julie Andrews then coming on stage and saying, My dear Lady Gaga. That was worth it. So the other thing we always have to cover when we talk about the Oscars is the hosting.
Yes.
I think everyone was optimistic. Mm-hmm. It was Neil Patrick Harris this year. He's had a lot of successful hosting gigs in other things. He's been a wonderful Tony's host. He's been a good Emmy's host. I had really high hopes for him, but I gotta say, I was surprised to find myself just thinking nothing was working.
No. This one kind of went off the rails a little bit from the beginning, and it just takes a few flubbing of names. He just flubbed names left and right.
Yeah.
One advantage that certain hosts have of award shows like this is that they bring their team of writers with them. Like when Jon Stewart hosts stuff, whatever you think of Jon Stewart as a host, he's got his team, and you know that it's going to have his sensibility. And I'm not sure that Neil Patrick Harris has his own team coming into these things. And it's one thing when he's doing big production numbers in the Tonys, like of course that wonderful thing he did at the Tonys a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. But expecting him to come in and hit jokes, the hosting for me did not work.
Yeah, they tried to get away from the traditional host monologue where you do a topical joke about everyone in the room, and I appreciated that. What he substituted for that was a lot of kind of puns and mm-hmm. weird little tossed off wordplay things, which if it works, it's so light and bubbly and fun that it really keeps the show moving. But if it doesn't work, what you get is a lot of people not laughing at things that are barely jokes to begin with.
Yeah.
And there was somebody on Twitter last night who said to me that the issue with this is that crowd is just no selling a whole bunch, mm-hmm. you know, any potential moment of joy and whimsy. I think it's a good summary of one of the problems is that it's just not a crowd that seems to be in the mood to have fun the same way that a Tony or an Emmy crowd
or especially a Golden Globes crowd,
which, I mean, look, you can give Tina Fey and Amy Poehler all the credit in the world, but the other thing that happens is they're dealing with a bunch of people who are at the Golden Globes and the feeling is just different. And so I'm not sure, you know, I wound up arguing maybe they should just stop having a host.
I think that's a completely reasonable possibility.
Just have presenters come on. Skip a bunch of the montage-y stuff. Let the speeches run longer. Let everybody talk. I agree with you. All right. Well, full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday at npr.org or on iTunes or your favorite podcast provider. Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Linda.